And turn to the book of Acts, please. And I want to direct your attention this morning as well to the Gospel of John. And so turn to Acts chapter 24 and also turn over to John chapter 12. And our text this morning is going to be out of Acts chapter 24. But I want to consider the words of Jesus in John chapter 12. So, since you're there, I want you to look down at verse 48. Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." I want you to keep that in mind because Jesus states here, the one that rejects the Lord, Jesus Christ and his words, has something that is going to judge him. And it's the words that Jesus has spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word of God that you hold in your hands is the words of the Lord, the words that Jesus has spoken. The Word of God is going to be our judge in the last day, or the judge for those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go over, back over to Acts chapter 24, and I want to read a familiar passage this morning, but one where our text speaks of a man who experienced and lived out exactly what Jesus said in John 12, someone who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was judged in the end because of his rejection of the Lord. Let's read in Acts chapter 24. I'm just going to take a few verses here and I'll give you some context in just a little bit. But go down to verse 24 of Acts 24. And the Bible says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." Again, this is probably a familiar passage to many of you, but as I stated, it's a passage that shows us somebody who actually lived out Jesus' words when Jesus said, "Those who reject my words, the same will be judged, and there's one that judgeth them. The words that I have spoken are going to judge in the last day." Now, just for some context's sake, Felix is the Roman governor of Judea. In this context, Felix is listening to the Apostle Paul preach concerning the faith in Jesus Christ. You see that in verse 24, where the Bible says, "After certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." And so this is the focal point here, that Felix heard the Apostle Paul preach concerning faith in Christ. As Paul preaches the gospel and faith concerning or in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that Felix is moved in himself. In verse 25, it says, "As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." The words that the Apostle Paul preached had an effect on Felix that moved him in his soul. And the Bible says it was because of the words that he was hearing. This morning, I want to look at this scene in the palace in Caesarea as Paul preaches to Felix. And the words that Paul uses were full of meaning. They were full of meaning then, and they still are today. And I want us to notice this morning the reasons why these words were so powerful in this man's life, and consider how even a few words spoken for the Lord, even in trying circumstances, can actually make a difference in all eternity. And I'm going to make two applications. There's going to be an application for the lost this morning and an application for God's people as well as we work our way through this. And that's the direction we're going to go this morning as we preach on this subject, and it's taken from Jesus' words, "He that receiveth not my words." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today, and as we take a few minutes to examine Scripture, Lord, I pray that we would all receive and examine our hearts in light of Scripture. And if there's lost people here today, I pray that the Word of God would grip their soul. Lord, the Spirit of God and the Word of God would move them. And Lord, I pray as well for God's people that you'd help us to draw application, even in our own personal evangelism and witness for Christ, and Lord, to understand and see how even some words, a few words that we might give for the Lord Jesus Christ could make a difference and impact eternity in the life of somebody else. And Lord, I pray that you'd use your word today, teach us, Lord, may we engage with it very intentionally as was prayed already today. And we pray these in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go, first of all, to verse 25. And again, I'm going to talk about what is it that Paul preached here, and what words was Paul using that had such an impact or affected Felix? First of all, I want you to understand in verse 25 that some of the words that Paul preached, they actually confronted Felix. And there needs to be a confrontation in people's lives. God's word is always going to do that. Some of the words he said confronted Felix. In verse 25, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. The Bible tells us here that Paul reasoned with Felix. That word is an important word because not only was he reasoning with Felix, but also with his wife Drusilla. The word reasoned, it means to say thoroughly, it means to discuss, it really means to preach. So in other words, Paul was preaching to Felix and Drusilla. Paul used his time with the governor to declare unto him the truth of the gospel. In fact, it seems as that is the reason that Paul was sent for in the first place. Verse 24 tells us that Felix sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. It gives the implication that that's really the reason why Felix even called for Paul in the first place. So Paul takes the opportunity to preach. As Paul preaches, there are two areas of his sermon, if you want to call it a sermon, because he's reasoning, he's preaching. There's two areas that served as direct confrontation to Felix's life. Notice that the Bible tells us that Paul reasoned of righteousness. Of righteousness. The word righteousness, it means equity of character. Specifically, it means justification. And it refers to the state of being right. In essence, what Paul is talking about, he's talking about God who is righteous, because there is none righteous, there is none right other than God. So if he's preaching and reasoning of righteousness, he's talking about what God is, who God is. It literally speaks of a state of moral and spiritual purity. Well, there's only one who is morally and spiritually pure. It's God. So what we're talking about here, and what the Word of God is telling us, is that Paul is preaching about the righteousness of God. The Bible tells us in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 15, "O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous." Psalm 50 and verse 6 says, "And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." Selah. 1 John 1, 5 says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." It's talking about the righteousness of God. Listen, and this is important for us to understand, because when we're thinking about God, when we're talking about God, when we're talking to somebody else about God, it's important, it's critical, it's absolutely necessary that we speak of God in his righteousness and His holiness. God is not the man upstairs. God is not the guy that we have a vibe with. God is not, you know, our buddy, our pal, our friend. God is not a genie in a lamp. God is not the one who we pray to give us all of the things that we ever want. But this is the idea so often that mankind has concerning God. They make a God of their own imagination. And so when we speak of God, when we're talking about God, we must speak of Him in His righteousness and His holiness. Paul preached and reasoned concerning righteousness. He's talking about the character of God. Why is that important? Because God is holy, God is righteous, He's the Almighty God. It is imperative that we speak of Him in reverence to His righteousness. He is holy and righteous. So holy and righteous that He cannot even look upon sin. Man is altogether sinful, and this is the comparison that needs to be drawn. You understand what I'm saying? Man looks at himself as if he's righteous, or as if he's a good person. Man is altogether sinful and cannot enter into the presence of God. Not there is nothing good about us. We can't merit favor with God. God is righteous. That is what people need to hear. Paul preached then. If he's preaching about righteousness and he's talking about the righteousness of God, then he must have also been preaching the fact that this righteous God cannot look on or be in the presence of sin. He hates sin. Romans 1:18 actually says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." There's a gap. The righteousness of God, the unrighteousness of men. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the unrighteousness of man. God is holy, man is unholy. God is pure, man is impure. God is sinless, man is sinful. God is righteous, man is unrighteous. Paul must have been pointing out the truth that man is a sinner and he cannot stand before God. In fact, he stands condemned in the eyes of a righteous God. The bottom line is this. Felix is brought face to face with the fact that his nature is sinful and he's condemned before God. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I think Paul was preaching to make it painfully aware, to make Felix painfully aware that no man has the righteousness needed to stand in the presence of a holy and righteous God. How those words must have touched the heart of Felix, because Felix was anything but righteous. In fact, he was noted in his day for excessive sinful living. You can read about him in history. He was known for his excessiveness in all kinds of things. And if we say he was noted for excessive sinful living, that's actually saying a lot in the culture that he was governor in. Roman culture was also very excessive. What I'm saying is, and history can tell you this, Felix was engaged in all kinds of immorality. He maintained his power through brutality and murder. History bears witness to the fact that Felix was not a good man. He was a wicked man. And maybe as Paul is preaching, he's preaching concerning the righteousness of God, he's highlighting the fact that you, Felix, are not righteous. God is. And how those words must have touched his heart. But maybe those same kinds of words would speak to somebody's heart here today. Man thinks of himself as pretty good. Even when we admit that we're sinners, we still have this idea in our head that somehow there's something still worthy in me. None of us will ever get to heaven unless we possess the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we can only get that by faith in Him. The application for believers today, for saved people, is basically directed at when you come into communication and have interaction with people in this world. It's important for us to keep this in mind when we're witnessing for Christ, that a person will not seek to be saved unless they first perceive that they are lost. A person will not understand that the good news of the gospel is good news until they see how bad it is for them. Then they're going to embrace the fact that this is good news. What is the purpose of preaching the law? The purpose of preaching the law is to demonstrate and show that God is holy and God is righteous. The standard of righteousness is God Himself, and there's no way that I could possibly measure up to God's holy standard, which then drives me to the provision that God has made, which is Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of preaching the law, to show the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man, that there's no way those two could ever come together. The first thing that Paul did when standing before Felix was declare God's holy standard. And it would show Felix that he's missed the mark. We're also told in verse 25 that Paul preached not only righteousness, but temperance. The word temperance here, it refers to self-control. But we need to understand it this way. When Paul preached about righteousness, he's dealing with God's character, God's nature. And the contrast is that man's character and man's nature is utterly wicked and sinful. Okay? But when he's talking about temperance, he's not talking about a nature, he's talking about a man's conduct, or how they would live before men. So he's preaching to Felix and to Drusilla. He's talking about God's righteousness. He's talking about the character. He's talking about the nature. He's talking about who they are before God. Now he's preaching of temperance. Now he's talking about conduct and how they live their life before men. When Paul began to speak of self-control, he's hitting this couple squarely between the eyes. Just as Felix was lacking in righteousness, he was also lacking in self-control. History tells us that Felix was married 3 times. It also tells us that he lived a life of drunken parties. It tells us that he was always deep in debt. It tells us that he was a brutal man, always keeping power through brutality and murder. It tells us that he was perpetually in trouble with the Emperor Nero at the time. The text also refers to his wife Drusilla. Drusilla was actually his 3rd wife. And together, they lived a life of open sin and terrible wickedness in front of men. And Paul's words here, as he's preaching, are very pointed. Talking about the righteousness of God, talking about the conduct of man that proves what your character is, and that it's not full of self-control. In fact, it's the opposite. I wonder if Paul even listed some specific things that were well known to everybody. But I'm pretty sure that the words that Paul preached stung to this couple. When Paul addressed Felix, he was speaking to a man who was morally bankrupt and thoroughly evil. Let me make this application here. One of the tragedies of these modern days in Christianity is that very few people are actually confronted with their life by the Word of God concerning their lifestyle, concerning their sin. In a lot of churches, and even it can maybe even creep into a person's own personal witness, we want to shy away from using the Word of God because it's very confrontational. You know, people don't want to call homosexuality sin. They want to shy away from it. But when the Word of God comes in, the Word of God, because it's the standard of God and the holiness of God and the words of God, it naturally brings with it conviction, and conviction is what is necessary and the first step in order for somebody to be saved. They've got to be convicted. They've got to be confronted. Society tries to sanitize sin to make people feel better about themselves and what they're doing. You know, you can talk about lying, but lying's no big deal in our culture. Lying's not a big deal. You call somebody a liar, they don't even want to hear that. Lying is like, well, there's a little bit of a credibility gap there. No, they're a liar! That's what they are. Homosexuality, sodomy, it's the alternative lifestyle. Abortion, what do they change it into? A woman's rights. That's what they do. They sanitize it. They soften it. Why? So that people don't feel bad about their who they are and what they are and about their sin. But listen, that's not what God's Word does. That's not what the Apostle Paul did when he stood in front of Felix to preach. He reasoned, he preached concerning God's righteousness and temperance, your sinfulness. That's what Paul confronted Felix and Drusilla with. So some of the words that Paul used and preached confronted him. And he needed to be confronted about who he was in order to see himself for what he was. We don't like to be confronted. We don't even like to be confronted as Christian people sitting in a church where we say we hold to the Word of God. We don't like to be confronted. We don't like the Word of God to shine a spotlight on who we are and what we are because it brings with it conviction and I don't want to feel bad. Well, sometimes I really mess up and I need to feel bad about how I messed up because I need to see myself for what I actually am in order to make it right. Well, that's what Paul did as he preached concerning righteousness and temperance. Those words confronted him. But secondly, some of those words concerned him. Look at verse 25. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. We're told here that as Paul preached to them about judgment to come, that there was a day coming when they would face this righteous, sin-hating God in judgment if they did not repent. So he reasoned, preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. What is that judgment that is to come? Well, the Bible speaks clearly concerning what the wages of sin is. It's death. But the Bible also speaks of a place of torment, a place of unquenchable fire, a place of misery, a place of pain, a place of frustration and anger, and a place of eternal separation from God because of our sin. As Paul is preaching about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Paul is making it very clear. It's not enough to see the standard of God's holiness. It's not enough to see the lack that you and I have as we stand before God that we can't measure up. It's also critical to see that there's a consequence that comes in when we stand before God. He says, judgment to come. Why don't you go to Luke chapter 16? Because in Luke chapter 16, the Bible gives us a window to look through. What happens when a soul goes out into eternity apart from God? You know, people say we don't know what happens after death. It's unknown. Well, the Bible actually gives us a window to look through out into eternity. And this is not a parable. It's not just a story. It's a real-life person that Luke 16 is talking about. And we know that because there are two people. A name is given. No parable ever has a name, a proper name in it. This is an actual event. This is an actual people. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This gives us a window to look out into eternity, exactly what happens to a person after they die. The Bible tells us that Lazarus was comforted in the presence of God in Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and he said, I'm tormented in this flame. We can read in other portions of Scripture that the lake of fire is a place of unquenchable fire. It'll never go out. We also read in this passage of Scripture that there was the ability for this rich man to remember his past life. He said, Son, remember, in thy lifetime you had good things, you had opportunity, but now you're tormented. Your opportunity is past. It's a place of intense, unsatisfied thirst. He said, dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. It's a place of misery. He said, send him to my father's house and let him testify and tell them, lest they come to this place of torment. Ultimately, the Bible tells us in Revelation 21 that it's a place of eternal separation from God. And God's undiluted wrath is poured out. The fury of God's wrath is unleashed. That's an important message to preach. It's not fun to preach, but it's critical that it is. Because why would a person who doesn't see themselves in any kind of danger flee and run to the good news of the gospel? Paul preached of righteousness, God's righteous standard. You're not. Paul preached of temperance. Your lifestyle proves exactly what your nature is. But you also need to understand that that comes with a consequence. The judgment of God. He probably told them about the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. No doubt he preached to them and told them about a day when all sinners, including you, are going to stand before this holy and righteous God and be judged. I don't know exactly what it was that Paul said, but he preached concerning righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Whatever it was that Paul said, whatever it was, the words that he preached that Felix heard, the Bible tells us those words made Felix tremble. You know what the word tremble means? It means to be thrown into fear. It means to become terrified. The words were penetrating Felix's heart. He was applying it to him and he became terrified and moved to fear. And maybe for the very first time in Felix's life, Felix understood the truth that he was in trouble with a holy God. Maybe he came to see this about himself. When the Bible tells us that Felix trembled, it basically what it's saying is that Felix was under conviction. The Word of God brought conviction to his soul. Two applications here. First of all, when you are a child of God and you're concerned about people and you want to be a testimony, a witness for Jesus Christ and soul winning, we've got to tell people that without Jesus Christ, there's a fearful, certain, eternal judgment that is coming. Can't soften the message. Can't water it down. The second application, though, for the child of God is the Bible tells us that Felix trembled. Understand this. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in this world through the preaching of the Word of God to bring conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And the lesson for us is that even as we are telling others about their need of salvation, we always must rely on the Holy Spirit of God to bring the conviction of sin into a man's heart using the Word of God. That's what we rely on, not human reasoning, logic, or argument. It's the Word of God that has the power of God. It's the preaching of the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. You know, even in talking to somebody to use logic and argument and so on, it's not going to have the effect. We rely on the power of God through the preached Word of God to bring conviction into a person's heart. But the second application here is for those who may be lost. The Bible tells us that Paul preached to Felix and it moved him. He trembled. It caused him to be in fear. It caused him to be terrified. Clearly, Felix felt something inside of him. And here's the question. How does it make you feel when you hear about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come? Does it cause you to feel something inside of your soul, something uneasy, something troublesome, maybe even trembling? Do you sit there fully aware of the fact that if you died today, that you'd go to hell? You know you're lost? If that's true, if you sense that, if you experience that, my friend, you need to heed the message this morning. Amen. God's trying to draw you to Himself. Lastly, I want you to note verse 25 again because of Acts 24. Some of the words that Paul preached, they confronted Felix in his life. Some of the words that Paul preached concerned Felix. When he heard of judgment to come, he was trembling. But thirdly, the words that were said condemned Felix. I want you to notice verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." As Felix was being convicted of his sin by the word of God and the preaching of the Apostle Paul, he made a terrible decision. The Bible says he sent Paul away, and he said, "When I have a convenient time, I'll deal with this." Well, from looking at all that history tells us about this man, neither he nor his wife ever came to that convenient season. 2 years after this event, Felix was called back to Rome to face Nero for his brutality and his harsh ways. Felix was discredited. He was removed from power. The Bible even tells us. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, his position. He was discredited. He was removed. History tells us that, although it's not 100% certain, history tells us that he probably died by his own hand, committed suicide. There's no indication that he ever came to faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Drusilla was there. History says that Drusilla died in 79 AD when Mount Vesuvius erupted and buried the city of Pompeii. It appears that she too died lost. And I say all that to highlight the fact that that's a terrible tragedy. What a tragedy. The word of God came to Felix. The opportunity came to Felix. He was convicted of his own sin. And ultimately, though, it was the words of his own mouth that condemned him. He died lost because he chose to. He chose to. And it may be that your heart today has been convicted by the word of God. If so, it's up to you to say yes and yield to the Lord, or say no when I have a convenient time. The word of God can confront you. The words that are preached may even concern you. But in the end, it'll be your own words that condemn you. You see, when you spend eternity away from God, eternally separated from God, that ultimately has been up to you. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, God gives light to every soul. How you respond to the light is going to determine whether you get more light. How you respond to the light is going to determine where you spend eternity. And so where a person spends eternity is ultimately up to them, because God is not willing that any should perish. And here's the way that I'll close this message. There is no convenient time other than right now. When the Spirit of God is speaking, that's the time. God is speaking to your heart. You need to respond to the message today. Application for the saved people: praise the Lord that you're saved, but we have a job to tell others and warn others. And as we speak to others, we need to speak of the righteousness of God, God's holiness. We need to speak of temperance, the standard of man and the conduct of man. It's verification of the fact that our nature is corrupt and we cannot see God, but we also need to tell them there's a consequence for that. Don't go out into eternity without God. Don't water the message down. Speak the truth. Amen? If God is speaking to your heart today, you respond. There is no convenient time other than now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use your word in hearts today, we pray. May people respond with a tenderness and a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit of God. Or somebody here today who is reasoning out in their own mind, what if I died today? The Bible is very clear about the judgment of God and the wages of my sin, which is death, a separation from God. Maybe they're weighing it out, just like Felix was. He trembled. The words penetrated his heart. But he made a decision. And Lord, I pray that there would not be the same tragic outcome for any who would be here today who are not saved. Lord, I pray that they would respond in Jesus' name.